His mic was off. It's okay.
It is on.
There you are.
Can you give it up for me, please? I'm a little slow, all right? Hey, before you sit down, you turn around and greet someone. Introduce yourself to somebody right quick, all right? All right, as you're headed back to your seat, you go ahead and grab a seat. There's a Connect card right in front of you, right there in front of you. If you're a guest, and I know we do have guests today, I want to say thank you for being around. It is an awesome, awesome day for us. Things are going to look a little differently. It's going to be kind of up and down, around. We're not moving up here. Well, we're going to do a lot of moving, but we're not leaving the stage today. And so if you're a guest, thank you. We're looking a little differently today. If you'd fill out that card right in front of you, that's a little blue card. It's called a Connect card. I'd love for you to fill it out. You can drop it off in the offering box on the way out. That would be a huge, huge blessing to us because I'd love to be able to meet you. I'm going to send you an email this week and just help you to know how to step into our body and into our community. And so in that offering box, if you're a guest, you drop your offering, or your offering for us is that guest card. Our members, regular attenders, they're going to be putting their offerings and their tithes in there. Your offering and tithe to us is just that card, so we'll know you're here. Listen, today is Thanksgiving, and we're going to, I say Thanksgiving, for us specifically it's Thanksgiving, because we're going to have a Thanksgiving service. There's a lot that we as a community and as a people, as a gospel people, have to be thankful for. This is where we begin to enter into the Advent season. And those of you who don't know what Advent is the coming of the Christ child. It's the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, who was born in a manger. And the way that we celebrate that and we remember that as body, as individuals, this year, we always try to have an Advent devotional, an Advent guide. And we have produced an Advent booklet this year for your family. Here's what I want to invite you to. This is one per family to keep the cost down so that we can keep it free. We're asking that you pick up one as you leave because this will begin next Sunday. And as always, if you're a book reader, never skip the introduction or the foreword because there's always really, really good stuff in there. And I want to tell you, in here, there's a section called How to Use This Book. It is really important that you use that page, this couple of pages, because it's going to help you get prepared. So you plan to stop by and you grab one of those and be ready to celebrate Advent. And for me, who Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving. I love being able to celebrate the food. I love being able to celebrate with family, all of those kinds of things. But one of the greatest celebrations for me, this mic is going to get in my way, is this. The next day, I get to start playing Christmas music. That's something that we don't get to do around my house until the day after. So I really look forward to Thanksgiving. I know. It's a sacrifice. I enjoy books. I enjoy reading. I'm in trouble. I already know this. I can feel eyes coming from this way right now. I enjoy reading. Rudyard Kipling, those of you who may be familiar with him, he wrote Captain Courageous. He probably one of his most famous books is The Jungle Book. In the early 1900s, a reporter was interviewing him, and that reporter said, Mr. Kipling, it's been estimated your wealth is so great that every word you write is worth $100. And you got to remember, this is the early 1900s. So he pulls out a $100 bill, hands it to Rudyard Kipling, and says, I'd like to have one of your $100 words, please. Rudyard looked at it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks, and turned around and walked off. Listen, thanks and Thanksgiving is not just a holiday for us. As gospel people who've been changed by the Lord, our hearts have been changed. It should be an attitude. It should be a season all year long, that we're continually thankful for what it is that the Lord is doing in our lives and as individuals. And even in the days when things are really difficult, we can still give thanks to the Lord. All throughout the scripture, the word thanks is a go-to word. It's a word that the scripture writers used a lot. And I'm going to be reading some of those. I want you to follow along on the screen as I share what the Bible has to say. Psalm, just a portion of that. Psalm 9, verse 1 says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord. O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. Isaiah 12, 4 says, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Ephesians 5, 20 says, give thanks always for everything to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, for you. We're to be a thankful people. And this Thursday, some of you've already begun this weekend because family's traveling, but what I know is that on this coming Thursday, you're gonna have family, you're gonna have friends, maybe some family, if you will. They're gonna be gathering somewhere, and what you're gonna end up doing is you're gonna eat yourself into a food coma, probably. Before you get to that table, my hope is that you're beginning to give thanks even now for what it is that God has been blessing you with and what it is that he's done in your life. Well, I want you to know that that's what we want to do today. We want to stop as a gospel people. And when I say a gospel people, I mean a people who know the good news, whose lives have been changed. We want to stop and we want to thank the Lord for all that he has done in our lives. And in our body, in our church, in the New Testament, and those of you who don't know, the New Testament was written in Greek, all right? It didn't just come out in English. They spoke Greek in those days and wrote in Greek. And so the word thanks in Greek is eucharisto. That is the English word that you may have heard before, the Eucharist, or the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, communion. Well, we're going to take a moment today and we're going to give thanks for all that the Lord has done. You see, we're going to share in communion today. We're going to start today and thank you, because I encourage you, if you get in here early, if you are a follower of Christ and you did not pick up and you came in one of our communion cups, I want to ask you to raise your hand. We got some folks back here who are going to help. All right, y'all come on. And we got several here that we can keep them up high. I want to make sure that we get those to you. We're going to celebrate communion, and we're coming to his table, to the Lord's table today, figuratively, and we're going to give thanks. We're going to give thanks that he saved us, that he's changed us, that he saved us from sin, that he laid his life down for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17 say this, the cup of blessing that we bless, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one, we all partake of the one bread. Notice that Paul talked about the cup of blessing. This cup, the cup of his blood that he, on that night when he was gathered with his disciples, he said, take and drink this now. He symbolizes afresh the Passover cup as his blood broken and spilled out, his body broken, his blood spilled out on the cross the next day. They didn't realize it. They didn't recognize fully what it was, what was going on, what was going to happen. It was only in hindsight that, oh, this is what he's talking about. Several times that night, as they gathered around the table, as they would pass the bread, they would pray. As they would pass the wine, they would pray. As they got ready to leave, they would pray. Notice what he says here in Mark chapter 14, verses 22 through 24. And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Today, I'm going to ask, if you will, take the cup, and I'm going to ask you to turn it over to where you can see that bread that's there. And I'm going to ask that you open it up. This is for followers of Jesus Christ. If you never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I'd ask you just to hold on to this for right now. And then we'll have conversations about it later with you as individuals, because as a memorial, we come to remember the one who laid his life down for us. And so this does not save us. This symbolizes what Christ has already done. What saves us is our faith in Jesus Christ, where we surrender and submit to him. And today, we've come to give thanks. When we come to his table, we're thanking him for all that he's done. So I'm going to ask, if you would you take that bread? And I'm going to ask that you do something unique. I'm going to ask that you hold it up and you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take and eat. I'm going to ask in the same way that you pull off the other side the cup of juice. He said that they gave thanks. Father, today we give thanks to you for all that you've done. I'd ask you to raise this up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take and drink. Father, we love you. We magnify you. We thank you, Jesus, for laying your life down. God, I thank you that you had a plan long before I ever came into being, that you were going to reach down and save a little 13-year-old boy from East Texas. And God, I'd ask that today you would do that exact same thing with someone here in this room. God, we thank you, we magnify you, we worship you, and we praise you today. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask all of these things. Amen. Won't you stand and sing with us now?
you, Jesus. I was a prisoner, and now I'm not. And with your blood, you bought my freedom. Hallelujah, oh, the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a
Amen. Listen, before you sit down, we're going to read a passage of scripture together, Psalm 100, all right? There's a lot of exclamation points in here, and I want us to read it like we mean it, all right? So Psalm 100, we got that ready, guys? Are we there? Psalm 100, yes! All right, this is not a response. We're reading it together, all right? So on the count of three, one, two, three. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen. You can have a seat. Listen, Thanksgiving, as I said, is a major theme all throughout the Bible because it reminds us that everything that we have, including those of us who surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we belong to him. You realize that the air that's in our lungs, he gave us. The blood that flows through our veins, he put it there. The car that you have, you think you bought it, he gave you the money for it. The money that's in your bank right now, the money you're going to give back to him, he gave it to you. Your wife, your husband, your kids, they came from him. Your job, even if you don't like it today, came from him. So we should be thankful that we have a job today. Listen, everything that we have comes from the Lord. Everything that we have is from the Lord. God didn't just bless us, though, so that we could terminate on us. He blessed us so that we, in turn, could be a blessing to others. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God is speaking, and he says to Abraham, he says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." Abraham wasn't blessed because of what he had. He was blessed because of what he did with what God gave him. You see, God gives us blessing. He gives us finances so that we might be a conduit so that others might be blessed. It didn't just terminate on you. That's why I always tell you, your house is for the glory of the Lord. Your car is for the glory of the Lord. Your mind is for the glory of the Lord. The education you've been given is for the glory of the Lord. The dollars or the cents that you have is for him. You see, the scripture teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, Paul writes and he says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce a thanksgiving to God." Through us, we are enriched so that in every way we might be generous. You see, God is the blesser. He gives to us so that then we might bless others. And I need you to hear me. Each week I come up and I say something to you about, and you be faithful in your tithes and offerings. And today I'm not pleading with you or anything like that. Here's what I want to do today. I want you to hear, I'm thankful for you. I'm extremely thankful for how you have been so, so generous. How you've been a conduit. You have been walking in obedience with your hands open, your wallets, your pocketbooks, your bank accounts, your EFTs, however it is that you generously give back, I want you to know that this body is blessed because of that. And the generations that go before us or that come behind us are going to be faithful. They're going to be blessings because you've been a blessing now. Do you realize that people before us have paved the way for us to be where we are today? Doing the things that we're doing, having a building, having chairs, having all of this. And you realize that we have to be faithful in our day and time so that that might move forward. We've been blessed to be a blessing. A couple of things that I want you to kind of catch. You know, we don't talk often enough about this. And some of you have asked me, and I want to make sure that you know. In 2019, 2020, one of the craziest years we've ever lived through, isn't it? Who would have ever thought that the churches would close up for a period of time? Was it right? Was it wrong? Listen, we can debate all of that, but here's what I know. LifePoint Church continued to be very, very faithful, continued to share their faith across online, across the world, across the fence. You continue to be faithful in your giving. In 2020, so this has been a year ago now, when literally, we didn't know what was going to happen. Did you realize that the Lord was faithful through your generosity, and we took in 102% of our budget in 2019, 2020? I mean, praise the Lord. Who would have ever thought? Listen, with 1 year left, or excuse me, 1 month left in 2021, Nathaniel Hale, our executive pastor for administration, tells us that he's projecting we're going to end the year somewhere around 112% of our budget. Praise God. I mean, praise God. For those of you, this is your first time as a part of LifePoint. LifePoint Riverdale, like you've not been here long. I want to tell you a quick little snippet of history. I've been here for 20 years on this staff. 3 years prior to me getting here, so 23 years ago, LifePoint in Smyrna, First Baptist Church Smyrna, LifePoint Church Smyrna built all those buildings. Well, one of them came about after I got here. But 23 years ago, for the last 23 years, we've had somewhere around $14 million of debt. That's around $400,000 a year. And we've just continued to say, listen, be faithful, be faithful. God will bless. God's going to take care of that. I want you to know, as of last week, well, really, it's been about 2 weeks ago, Nathaniel Hale was able to stroke a check 2.5 years early. LifePoint Church is debt-free today. Paid in full. Paid in full. Just in case you can't read that, that says paid and satisfied. Listen, I want to say this to you. Today, my prayer is that some of you will meet Jesus for the very first time and that your debt of sin will be paid and satisfied. And that only happens by us surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. Listen, last year we challenged all of LifePoint churches and asked this. We said, listen, through our one-day offering, and we're kicking off that opportunity for us today, but through our one-day offering, we said, hey, in the next 4 years, we want to challenge our church and call our church to give $1 million for church planting. Through today, do you realize that we have already, the Lord has blessed through the generosity of people, we're already at almost $500,000 after 1 year. Guys, let's finish that off this year and move on so that we can go to something bigger and better and we can see more churches planted. Listen, the Lord is doing incredible things, and I want you to hear it's his faithfulness but through the generosity and the obedience of us as followers of Christ. That's big picture. I want to tell you about Riverdale. Let me tell you some things that just completely blow me away over this past year. As a staff, we've been talking, as a Riverdale team, don't doubt we've been telling all the rest of the Riverdale staffs, all right? All the rest of the LifePoint staffs. Let me tell you something, things that have happened in the past year. Completed membership here for LifePoint. We've had 27 families say they want to be a part and complete membership for here. We've baptized 22 people this past, up to this point in the year. Today, we're baptizing 3 in this service. We have 2 in the next service. We're not just baptizing children. We're baptizing adult men, adult women, teenagers. The Lord is doing incredible, incredible things. We've commissioned 3 folks for missions, 2 international, 1 local. We have others who are waiting to be commissioned to go international. That's what the Lord is doing here. Do you realize that in a church that averages right around 300 people, Riverdale, in case you're wondering, we have over 100 people faithfully serving every week. And you know what? We need more. We're short. Right now, there are over 70 women who are actively being discipled in small groups. 16 disciplers. We have right now 40 men that are being discipled in small groups. 9 different folks who say, listen, I'm willing to be a discipler. We've got 43 folks involved in life groups. These aren't people that are checking boxes. Oh, we've not seen them in a year. We're talking about over 100 people who are actively being discipled to be more like Christ. And you know what? This next year in January, you're going to hear, you need to get in a D group. You need to get in a D group. I need you leading a D group. There are folks in here who could step out and begin to do that. And I'm calling you and asking you to do that. You know why? Because it makes us more of a gospel people. This isn't about being bigger and better. This is about us being deeper in the Lord and following after Jesus Christ. And you know what? As we follow after Jesus, as we give him everything, not just our finances, but our time, you know what ends up happening? People begin to go, there's something different about you. I want to go where you're going. And the byproduct is that more people come and they hear about Christ and they begin to grow deeper in Christ. And the church continues to grow. But I need you to hear. Everybody up here, I need you to hear this. We're not shutting the door this year. There's more work to be done. There's more road to travel down. There are more people in your neighborhood coming into your neighborhood today that need to know Jesus Christ. There are more kids in your kids' school. We can't keep up with building enough schools, can we? Listen, we can't keep up. There are more children who need to know Jesus Christ. And I need you to hear me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being so faithful. The Lord, Lord God, you've been faithful, hasn't he? Has he been faithful to us? Yes, he's been faithful to us. But I need you, me, we need to be obedient with what it is that he's given us. We need more Jesus followers running the road with us. Part of doing that is you continue to be faithful. You be generous with what it is that God's given you. I'm gonna ask you to stand. We're gonna come back, sing, thank the Lord. Father, I love you. I'm so thankful for this body. I'm thankful for what you're doing in my life because of the people in this church. And I'm asking you right now, God, continue to pour your faithful blessing out upon this body. Amen.
Every time you
the giants fall, cause we cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you.
Go ahead and have a seat. I said a minute ago, for those of you who are brand new around here, just a little quick history. In 2006, we were growing as Life Point. We were only one location, and man, the Lord was doing some incredible things. We were growing, and we put together a building team. We were thinking, man, we got to build some more buildings. In 2000, we had some great plans. We had things going, but we could never, it never felt right. We went into a time of prayer and fasting in 2008, and in 2008, called the Sacred Gathering. Some of you have been a part of those, and we came together, and we just got on our knees before the Lord, fasting and praying and worshiping. God, what do you want us to do? And we sensed as a community, the Lord was saying, listen, don't build more buildings in one location. You send. Get people out of here. Let's send out of here. So in 2009, we started the very first church out of Life Point. It's the Stewart's Creek campus. Now, some of you have been at the Stewart's Creek campus. You served there. You were a part of that. That was in 2009. In 2010, Life Point sent two teams of families, 10 families, five to Bangkok, five to Brussels. And in 2011, they had their very first public services there. In fact, right now, we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Life Point Bangkok and Life Point Brussels. The Lord has done some incredible, incredible things through what has happened. Internationally, I want you to be able to see a little picture of what that looks like. And we're going to see a video now, a story about a man named Milan who is from out of the Brussels church. It's indicative of what's going on across all the campuses. But I want you to be able to see and meet Milan.
My name is Milan. I am from Belgium. And I grew up as an atheist. All my friends and my family were atheists as well. In Belgium, we believe, or most people believe, that religion is irrational and that it contradicts with science. And that is what I was taught in school as well. So my friends and I, we lived for pleasure. We came together every weekend. We made music. Most of them were musicians. We drank a lot. Afterwards, we would go to a bar, get drunk, and we would repeat that every weekend. So after 9 years, I found myself addicted to alcohol. I was a heavy drinker. And that was the time that I met my wife. It was in 2018. And she was the first person that pointed me towards evidences for the Christian faith. So that started me on a journey of reading a lot, thinking, discussing, asking questions, looking for answers. And at the time, she attended LifePoint Church in Brussels. So she took me along, and it was very different from my picture of the church. Because in Belgium, if we think about Christianity, we think about the Catholic Church. And for me, that meant old people, monotone music, old-fashioned messages, old-fashioned ideas. But when I came to LifePoint, I saw that the majority of the people were young, my age, or like in the 30s. The message was relevant to my life, and there was a band playing. So it was very different and very attractive. After the service, a lot of people would come to me and wanted to talk to me, which was really cool. You could sense that they had something different. They were loving God, loving the people around them, and loving me. They didn't know me, but they wanted to spend their time talking with me and get to know me. So I loved discussing their faith with them. And after a year and a half of reading, discussing, like going to church, discussing with Christians, I decided that I had to make a decision, a final decision, because I was telling my wife that I didn't want to marry her until I knew that if Christianity was true or not, because I didn't want to marry someone who believed in a lie. But through my journey of a year and a half reading reasons and arguments for Christianity, I actually already knew that it was true, but I didn't want it to be true. So I told my wife I had to be alone to make that decision, and I booked an Airbnb. So I went there with a suitcase with all my books that I've read. And I remember coming into the room, throwing my suitcase in the corner, and just go straight to the bar, start drinking again. I indulged in my sinful habits. And the next day I called in sick to work, so I could do it all over again. And I did. So I found myself lying to my boss, to my colleagues, to my friends, and to my wife, because she was proud of me for like wanting to take this final step of making the decision. But I wasn't doing what I promised her. So I remember sitting on the bedside in my room and like thinking, feeling guilty and thinking, I'm not a good person. I can't do this on my own. I don't know how I should live life in a good way. So at that point, I asked Jesus in my life, and I started following him. So the week after that, we were engaged. That was when COVID started happening too. So the churches got closed, but we were blessed with weekly services online, which was very good because I was a new Christian and I needed to hear the message like every week. I asked Pastor Luis to do our wedding. He felt honored, and he asked me if he should do like marriage counseling too, which was very good to really understand the meaning of marriage. So in that summer, 2020, it's last summer, things started opening up. We were able to do our wedding. The church opened up again. So I got baptized too. I started serving in the church. And we also did like a weekly small group with Pastor Ray, and we got to know Pastor Jordan a little bit better. So during the time I was thinking, okay, if there's a God, and if he revealed himself in the Bible, I want to know what the Bible says. I want to understand it better. I want to study it. So that's why I'm now in Waukesha, in Wisconsin, in the Bible College, to study for 2 years the Bible. And I know that we want to do something with the gospel. We want to do something with the Word of God. But we are excited to where God will be leading us and what God's plan is for us.
Listen, that's not praise and glory to Milan. That's to God alone. That's what Life Point is a part of. That's why we continually call one another to faithful living and blessing. In 2015, a flaming redhead moved back from Bangkok to help us start Life Point Murfreesboro, which was the forerunner to Life Point Riverdale. You guys are sitting in the faithfulness, the generosity and blessing of others. And then just this year, in the middle of COVID, February, you've helped start Life Point Church Arrington, where today it's a smaller building than this, but they're literally at just about max capacity. They're looking for a place to move. The Lord is doing so many incredible things that we ought to be thankful for. Not thankful because, hey, look at what we've done. Listen, thankful for what God is doing. And you know what? There are Milans in here. Your life has been changed by the power of the gospel. There are Milans, there's Melanies, there's you name it. The Lord is doing. Today, you're going to see people go through this tub here as an act of obedience to what the Lord has already done in their lives. When we got serious about going to the nations, you know what the Lord did? He got serious about bringing the nations to us. You realize, you've heard us talk about this not long ago, that if we're going to reach the nations, we need to reach our neighbors. You realize the nations are your neighbors. All around you, there are people who are very different than you and me. They may be from West Africa. They may be from Jamaica. They may be from Eastern Europe somewhere. They may be South American. They may be redneck, hillbilly, Appalachian people. But God has brought everyone here. You know what he's bringing right now is a lot of Californians. Why'd that get a laugh all of a sudden? But I need you to know, people need a church who love Jesus, who are willing to sacrifice so that they might be able to know the gospel. And this is what we should be thankful for. In Matthew 6 and Luke 11, Jesus' disciples ask him, Lord, will you teach us to pray? Help us to know how to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said this. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, there are a couple of aspects of God's kingdom. There's the right now aspect and the not yet aspect. You guys realize that we live in a crazy time, don't you? The world is, it feels like not only is it upside down, but it's like a snow globe. Somebody's taken it and they've shaken it up and everything is disarranged now. I mean, there's so much tension, whether it's racial tension, whether it's political tension, whether it's medical tension, what do we do? And I want you to hear, God's kingdom, his perfect kingdom is not yet. It's not yet. But in the here and now, this right here ought to be a kingdom outpost that looks very different. In a place where we have diverse ideas, where we think differently, where we look differently, where if we listen to one another, sometimes we sound differently, our accents. But we come here together, and I need you to hear, we are one body, one people, under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lives that have been changed, hearts that's been rearranged, transformed by the power of the gospel. And it's so unique that in a time and in a day where if it's just more money, more education, more technology, more development, we'll all get better. And it hasn't happened, has it? I need you to know, it's more money's not the issue. More technology's not the issue. You know what the issue is? It's more Jesus. And you may go, well, that's way simple. It is if we as followers of Christ begin to take seriously the gospel and how it has changed us and how we begin to relate to the world around us, how we begin to meet people, how we begin to be open to people, how we begin to be rooted in the gospel so that when we talk to people who have ideas that are very different than what the Word of God says, we're confident enough to be able to say, listen, this is what the Bible says, and I stand on it. And we're not just flaming, fighting each other all the time. We love one another. This place should be very different than any other place you go. We should be a people who love Jesus, and out of loving Jesus, we love his word. And because we love Jesus, we love his word, we love one another, no matter what we look like, what we sound like, where we're from, what we have or what we don't have. Because in this room right here, there are people who have a lot and people who have a little. There are people who are older and people who are younger. There are people who are married, people who are single. But we have been placed in a body, and I'm so thankful we've been placed in a body where we're one. I want you to see a picture. I want you to see a picture of what this body looks like. Not just this body. You realize that we are one church in six different locations. Smyrna, Stewart's Creek, Riverdale. We're in Brussels. We're in Bangkok. We're in Arrington. Lord willing, we're going to be in more places at some point that we're going to ask you to go help start. And I want you to be able to see, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? Watch this.
We just want to express our love and appreciation to our church and everything that God is doing in our lives and in our church. From the moment we walk into LifePoint Church, we feel the love and the appreciation of the acceptance of the people.
I am very thankful for LifePoint Church. I've been here for 20 years. I've walked through a lot of seasons in my life, from divorce to cancer, and I'm so thankful for how this church has carried me and my family through each one of those challenges.
There are times where we have visited church in the past and we felt like we are outcasts because, you know, there's no one there to give us that warm welcome.
We have always felt very welcomed and loved and wanted there, which is really important to us.
Walking up to the front of the church the very first time we came to visit and seeing people actually smile and greeting us, welcoming us to come in, and when we left, you know, have a great week. You know, when I look back growing up and going to different churches and visiting, even my home church, that was one thing that was missing, to be honest. To have that be the, you know, what, how we were welcomed that first day, I knew this was the place to be. I told my husband, this is it. This is the place to be. When we got in worship, hands are raised, music just touched our soul. this was the place we needed to be. We found home.
We are so thankful for LifePoint because of the way they teach verse by verse. There is no skipping over anything. And because of that, it's opened up conversations that we can have with our kids. And that has been such a gift for us to be able to meet hard things in different ways, ways that we would not have if it weren't for LifePoint.
And many years ago when I started coming to LifePoint, probably 16, 17 years ago, this church was so different then. There was people that would kind of stare and look at you when you walk down the hallway. But now, 16 years later, a lot of those same people, when they see me, are the same people that come up and hug me. Thankful that I'm here, want to know how I'm doing, what's going on in my life. And for me, that brings me so much joy.
This is a church that is so deeply and so sound in doctrine. It just started bringing conviction to my life. It started to feeling the call. You know, I was saved at the time, but I was not baptized. So I started feeling the call. And after talking to my pastor, we realized and made the decision that I needed to go ahead and get baptized. And after I made that decision, a decision that I will never regret. It's just such a blessing how a church encourage the community and their members to be obedient to the word of God and to take these steps. I can testify that change in my life, how much the Lord helped me to grow, to be that man, that man of the husband and the Christian father that the Lord called us to be.
The living scent is not necessarily going somewhere else or somewhere else in the world to do that, but doing it here and through the deacon ministry, I've been able to do that. As you know, now I'm the deacon coordinator at the Riverdale campus, and just being able to love people and build those relationships, and it's been a blessing to our family.
So we kind of talked, and I was like, hey, let's go back again. Let's kind of see what's going on every Sunday.
I'm thankful for how this church has helped me to grow through Abide and how they've helped me to find my passion to help other women and to lift others up.
We love how LifePoint is just a gospel-centered church, a church that loves the nations, a church that seeks the lost and leaves sin for the sake of the gospel.
The singing and just worshiping God and just everybody enjoying it.
I think that the focus on the kids' futures and teaching them how to study the Word of God, I think is very important to us.
I feel that I get equipped. I'm thankful for the opportunity to get to work alongside of men and women each and every day that love the Lord.
Each week we go, we feel like we walk away with something. Mm-hmm. You know, we have learned something.
We have all the tools we need here to live sin, to tell people what it took for us, what we've experienced, what our children are getting, what we're getting as a married couple.
We are so thankful for our pastors, our leaders, and everything they're doing in their community.
I'm thankful for LifePoint.
We praise God for the place that is LifePoint.
You know, they say, hey, you know, we can see the change in you guys. What are you guys doing? Say, we getting the word, we getting fed.
We are better able to honor God and worship God in the way that we are meant to do it.
Thank you, LifePoint. Thank you for being who you are.
Wow. Listen, that kind of thing right there fires me up as people who love the nations, as someone who loves the nations. Jesus said that his house would be a house of prayer for all peoples. Every tribe, every language, every people. And folks, we have room. I need you to hear me, all right? We went back to two services after COVID. Don't get used to it. There's a little vision drop here. Don't get used to it. There's going to be a day when we're going to have to figure out something. We're not going to like get full and say, oops, sorry, there's no more room. Is that church planting? Probably. Is that other services? Probably. It's all. The Lord is doing incredible things, and I need you to know that your neighbors need to know that. They don't need to know about LifePoint. They need to know about Jesus. when you tell them about Jesus and the gospel, they're going to want to know, where do you go? And then you get the opportunity. We don't want LifePoint to be the hero. Jesus is the hero. Do you get that? I want you to talk about Jesus. Get to him first. Get to him quickly. Listen, we start today. We roll out today the one-day offering. December the 12th is the day that we're asking folks to whatever it is that the Lord has called you. We want you to live faithfully. We want you to give generously and be willing to go wherever it is he calls you to go. Across the street, across the county, across the nation, across the world. We're asking you, would you get involved in that? Would you be a part of that? We're going to do it as a large gathering church. That's the day, the 12th. We're asking everybody to come and bring it. But I want you to know, you can give it all year long. We have people who give to one day all year long. One day all year long. However it is, we want you to be involved. If you're not tithing, start tithing. Leave one day to someone else. If you're tithing, we're asking you to go over and above your tithe, and you give an offering, a sacrificial offering to one day. Listen, remember, we've been blessed to be a blessing, not just financially. I'm talking about with our time, our talents, what you see, people giving back. And as a result, we're about to see baptism start to happen. We're about to see that. And that is what it's all about. I'm going to pray, and if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, I'm going to invite you to come see me. I'll be back at the Pastor's Connection in just a few moments after our baptisms. I'd love to talk with you. You want to know more about joining our church? Come and see me. I'd love to tell you about what this is all about. When I finish praying, you're going to see a quick video. These guys are going to lead in singing, and we're going to baptize. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we magnify you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time of the year where we set aside to be thankful. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for not being thankful all year long. I'm thankful that we have an opportunity once a year, but I'm asking you to make us a people who are thankful every day for what it is that you're doing in our midst. Father, we love you. We magnify you. We thank you for saving us, and we ask that you would continue to use LifePoint Riverdale to reach our community. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.
Have you ever thought about that one day? The one day where heaven and earth will be made new. The one day when our longing for home will be met as God makes his dwelling place with his people. He will come down out of heaven, and we will be waiting as a bride prepared and adorned for her husband, waiting anxiously to be made one, together for the one we were created for. He will dwell with us, and we will dwell with him one day.
One day, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. No more mourning, nor crying, nor pain. One day, the former things will have passed away.
One day, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will finish what he started. He will make right what is wrong, fulfill his word, and make whole what is broken.
One day, a great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, will stand before the throne and before the Lamb and cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb."
There will be no temple, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city will have no need for a sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God will be its light, and its lamp will be the Lamb.
But here we are today, in this moment. While we still have breath in our lungs,
we must fight
against the enemy's lie
that our lives are ours to live in any way we want.
No, we must live as God's people.
You see, one day is not just a dream of what might be. It's our future guarantee, and it should change our current reality.
God didn't send us apart to just attend church once a week, or call this church to die to ourselves and to live sin together on one mission, to make Jesus known to every nation, to every tribe, and to every language. Somos parte de una iglesia que Dios ha construido día a día en preparación para ese día.
Together, we have planted churches, seen salvation, celebrated baptism. We have fasted and we have prayed. And God has led us to go into our community, into our homes, and into the world.
We've shared the gospel with the young and the old, the nearby and the far off, in our churches, in our homes, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and in our workplaces.
Our community has been changed because of a commitment to believe the right things, love the right way, and do whatever it takes for people to find life.
The gospel has been shared in Espanol, Inglés,
French, Thai,
Japanese, Portuguese.
The hurting have found hope. The weary have found rest. The addicts have been set free, and the lost have been found. We have preached and sung and broadcast the gospel faithfully over platforms that have given us global reach and gospel influence.
One day at a time, God continues to give us a vision of how that one day, change every day.
Every day.
It should change every day.
Living faithfully,
giving graciously,
and going willingly.
I can't wait for this one day.
The thought of this one day gives me hope. But I don't want one day for myself.
I don't want one day for myself.
I want it for my wife, kids.
I want it for my husband, and friends, and family, and people who have no hope.
You see, one day, He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more.
Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore.
For the former things will have passed away.
So until that one day when we join Him,
we enjoy Him.
Finding life and living sent.
Until that one day when we are one with God.
One day.
Let's stand up together.
There will be a day when all will bow before Him. And there will be a day where death will be no more. Standing face to face with He who died and rose again. Holy, holy.
Beside
the heroes of the faith,
one voice.
shout the hymn of heaven. With angels and the saints, we raise a mighty roar. All glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy is the Lord. Let it be, oh, let it be today that we shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints, and we raise a mighty roar. All glory to our God, who gave us life beyond the grave. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Lift your voice, holy, holy, and holy, holy is the Lord. It's the end. Holy, holy is the Lord. Oh God, you're worthy of it all. Jesus, it's your
conquered hell. We believe in his God will save. We believe that the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, the loving they let the church live loud. Our God will save. We believe that the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, the loving they let the church.
Thanks to the Lord. Jesus, we thank you. You are the one behind all of the miracles that happen here, Lord. You are the one behind all of the work that's been done in our own hearts in this place. So, Jesus, we just say thank you all together. We say thank you, Jesus, for all you have done, that you're doing, and that you will do. God, we just praise your name today. It is fitting and right for us to give you highest praise. Jesus, you're worthy. Be enthroned on our praises today. And let our praises not end right here, God. Let our praises not stop at the end of a service. Lord, you are worthy of praise all day, everything we do. Jesus, let your name be lifted high. Lord, we love you. We honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, church. Let's go. Give